All right, pleasure having Bill Madden join us. He is a Hall of Fame baseball writer for the New York Daily News, one of the best in the country. Bill, how are you?
I'm good, Marty. How you doing?
We're doing fine as we get ready for the September run here to the finish. It's always a special time of year, isn't it, Bill, when that calendar just turns to September, everyone gets energy again, revitalized, and here we go.
Yeah, the only problem with it, Marty, is it comes too soon. These seasons keep going faster and faster on us, and, you know, it seems like I just got done with spring training down here in Florida, and here we are in the September stretch.
It's true. It's true. What do you think about the new schedule that's coming out and sort of doing away with the American League and the National League and making more like an NFL, AFC, NFC kind of looking leagues here?
Well, I guess you could say it's going to be good for the fans to get to see a lot of these teams that they very seldom seen. But for traditionalists, I think this is the final straw. We no longer have an American League and a National League. It started, of course, this year with a designated hitter being adopted universally in the National League. And now we have a situation where they're going to be playing, you know, as many teams in the other league as teams in their own league. And of course, you and I go all the way back when they eliminated the league presidents. And so I had a thought about this when I wrote my column today. You know, what does this mean for the All-Star game? I mean, the All-Star game's a joke now. I mean, you can't have an American League versus National League All-Star teams. Everybody's playing together. And I think the answer is going to be, and it could happen as soon as next year, is they're going to probably have the All-Star game turn it into a U.S. players versus international players. That's the only thing I can think of, because they can't keep doing it the way they're doing it with two leagues.
Boy, the race, though, of what you've got in New York now with the Mets and the Yankees. And, you know, look, I grew up in Brooklyn. I remember the back pages of the New York Daily News, of course, that you write for. You've got quite a race going here with the Mets and the Yankees. It's really something.
Yeah, I can't remember. I should know this, but I don't. When the last time both New York teams were in first place in September, I suspect it was at least maybe back in 2000 when they met in the Subway World Series. But it's been very interesting. The Mets are really an exciting team all year long. Buck Showalter's done a remarkable job at changing the culture there and getting these kids. They're really playing for them, Marty. You would love to see them. Well, you've seen them out there when they've been out there. But the Mets play kind of an old-time baseball. They don't rely on the home run. They hit home runs, but they don't rely on it. And they do a lot of hitting and running, and they do a lot of, you know, taking the extra base. And they play the game fundamentally right. It's a really fun team, an enjoyable team to watch. The Yankees, on the other hand, are still, you know, I give Brian Cashman credit. I mean, last year the Yankees were the sloppiest base-running team in baseball, and they were also a bad defensive team. And he addressed those moves by finally getting rid of Gary Sanchez as their catcher and bringing in Jose Trevino from Texas. And he brought the Khalifa. I always have a hard time pronouncing his name.
IKF.
Yeah,
Kiner Khalifa.
He brought him in from Minnesota to play shortstop. And so they tightened up the two most important defensive position, shortstop and catcher, and that also enabled them to put Gleyber Torres back at second base where he belongs. And Josh Donaldson, who was a kind of a throw-in in that deal because they were forced to take on his contract, you know, he's lost a little bit as far as bat speed and things like that, but he's still an elite defensive third baseman. So they've really tightened up their defense. The only thing they haven't addressed is the fact that the Yankees are still a home run or bust team. Mm-hmm. I think there was a stat I used last week. I can't say exactly what it was, but there's something like 94-12 in games that they hit home runs in. And it's almost just the opposite in games that they don't hit home runs. And the saying here is, if you want to beat the Yankees, you got to keep them in the ballpark. And, of course, not enough teams are keeping Aaron Judge in the ballpark. That's for sure.
How about it? 49 now. He hit one last night. The game winner, really, as the Yankees won 3-2 over the A's last night. How many can he hit? I mean, we're heading into September, and, you know, Babe Ruth, Kiner, Greenberg, Bonds, all these names, and hit 15, 17, 19 home runs down the stretch. Heck, the guy's got 49. Maris is at 61. Yeah. He's got a pretty good chance.
I believe he's on pace to surpass Maris. And, you know, I think he's going to do it. I really do, because for whatever reason, these pitchers keep pitching to him. He doesn't have a whole lot of intentional walks this year, like Bonds did. And, you know, he's going to get Stanton back to hitting behind him. This guy's just he's you got to give him credit. I mean, he turned down all that money $200 million from the Yankees last winter and bet on himself that he would have a kind of a season that he would, you know, he could make even more than that. We'll see what happens on that whole thing, because I still maintain that I don't know a team in baseball that would pay Judge at 31 years old what he turned down from the Yankees. And so it's going to be very interesting, because I think the Yankees are thinking the same thing. And so what do? Do they bid against themselves and just keep offering more money until he says yes? That's going to be a very interesting dynamic this offseason.
Boy, what a story. What a story. I know the Giants would love to have Aaron Judge. He's a Californian, and heck, they need a drawing card. Speaking of drawing cards, the Mets today had Old Timers Day, and they retired number 24, Willie Mays. How about that?
Yeah, I had a feeling I had talked to some Mets people a while back, and they told me confidentially that they were going to do this. They were hoping that Willie could be there for it. But as you know, Marty, Willie's I don't think he's able to travel anymore. And I guess he sent in a statement or something. I was hoping that they would get him on video, you know, do one of those things. But I don't think they were able to do that either. But anyway, it's a great gesture on their part. It was supposed to happen 40 years ago when he was a player there. And at the end of his career, and Mrs. Payson, Joan Payson, the owner of the team, told him, "When you retire, I'm gonna make sure we retire 24 in your honor." And then she passed away, and somebody dropped the ball, and nobody remembered that was the promise she made to him. And so only now they're finally making up for it. But it's a good thing. It's deserving. And Willie Mays is New York. I'm sorry, Marty, but we had him first.
Well, that was the problem when he got to San Francisco. He was part of New York, and it took a while to get close to the fans in San Francisco. But when he did, boy, number 24 is the guy, I'll tell you that. Very quickly, Bill Madden, as we love talking ball with him, you know, the Giants are in Minneapolis. They're playing the Minnesota Twins, and I was thinking last night, you know, the Giants almost went to Minneapolis when Horace Stoneham was contemplating leaving New York before he chose San Francisco. He was going to Minneapolis. We could have the Minneapolis Giants right now.
That's right. They were the Giants' AAA farm team, and they were the most logical place. I mean, Horace had to get out of New York. The Polo Grounds was falling apart, and the city of New York was unwilling to build him another stadium, a new stadium. And the same thing was going on over in Brooklyn with the Dodgers. But I think had it not been for O'Malley deciding that he was going to, you know, pull the plug on Brooklyn and go to Los Angeles and Chavez Ravine, if O'Malley hadn't started that whole thing, I think there's no question the Giants would have been, right now they would be in Minneapolis.
Well, they are, except they're the San Francisco Giants playing the Twins. How about that?
And speaking of that, Marty, and speaking of Willie Mays, You may remember this, too. When Mays was playing in Minneapolis, he was hitting .407 in 1951 in Minneapolis, and he was just beloved out there. And Horace, he had to call him up to the Giants because they needed him. But he wound up making a public apology to the fans of Minneapolis for calling up Willie Mays because they were so upset over the fact that he was tearing up the American Association and, like I said, hitting over 400. And Horace said, well, I hate to do this, but we need him here in New York. And I don't know how many times you've ever seen that, an owner of a major league team apologizing to the AAA team for calling up their best player.
Boy, not often. Well, I hope Willie's not listening because he hit .477. And, Bill, I made the mistake in introducing him one time. I said, and you hit .474, right, Willie? And he goes, .477. So he knows what he hit in Minnesota, I'll tell you that. I had fun with him. I had a lot of fun with him.
Yeah, well, that was he didn't stay long in the minor leagues. Let's put it that way.
No. Hey, a pleasure having you on, as always. One of the special guys, Bill Madden. Thanks so much, Bill.
Okay, my pleasure, Marty. Take care.
What a pleasure. Hall of Fame baseball writer, Bill Madden. Now it's time for the week's Community Spotlight, sponsored by Chilton Auto Body with 15 locations to serve you. This month's Spotlight is on the San Francisco Foster Youth Fund.